Our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 18. It's on page 742 of your pew Bibles. And it's the familiar parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men were up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get to the temple. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to the heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, three pastors had become good friends, and they decided they would confide in each other and pray for each other. First pastor confided, you know, I really struggle with greed. I see so many things, and I get such a small salary that sometimes I skim the cash off from the Sunday morning offering. Can you pray for me? They agreed. Second pastor said, well, you know, sometimes I struggle with lust, and I've even watched pornographic material, and I regularly struggle with lust. Can you pray for me? And the other two pastors said, yes, indeed. Third pastor confided, he said, I really struggle with gossiping, and I just can't wait to get home. Well, we all struggle with different sins, and today's gospel lesson is Jesus tells the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, particularly for those who struggle with the sin of pride and self-righteousness. Now, you might think, Pastor, on Commitment Sunday, why are you having a lesson that talks badly about the person who's giving 10% to the church? You would think this would be the last sermon topic that you would want to preach on Commitment Sunday, because Jesus is saying this guy who gives 10% of everything is not the person we're supposed to emulate, is not the person we're supposed to be like. Rather, we are supposed to be like that humble tax collector who said, you know, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so the church is more concerned with your spiritual health than it is simply with financial giving, because you can give for the wrong reasons. And we're more concerned about your relationship with God than simply getting money out of you. The Pharisee gave 10%. But his tithing was actually a hindrance for his relationship with God, because he boasted and he didn't have any sense of living in a gracious relationship with God. He boasted before God and he boasted before other people, and even though he gave 10%, it was not pleasing to God. I'll never forget one night watching Jerry Falwell on TV. Yes, I channel surf and I check out other religious programming, and in this service, he was right in the middle of the service. He said, I want all the TV cameras to turn around and focus on the people in the pews. So all the TV, and imagine the TV channels are on you. And he said, now I want everybody who made a pledge and a gift to Liberty Seminary to stand and be recognized. So much of the people stood up. A great use of pride. You're on national TV. Stand and be noticed. And then he said, you know, we need more money. So I want you, while the cameras are still on them, those who will make a new pledge to Liberty Seminary, please remain standing. Gotcha. Pride or guilt, one way or the other, we're working both sides of the fence here. And then on top of it, he says, now I want those of you who are standing to look down at those sitting beside you and invite them to stand to make a pledge with you. And ushers are down the aisles right now with the pledges. Well, you can imagine they made a lot of money that night. They turned out a lot of pledges because the cameras are on them. They're not going to sit down. They've already appealed to their pride. Now you appeal to their sense of guilt. It worked. But it wasn't God-pleasing because the giving was all based on guilt and pride. And this reminds us, you know, that the church is not just about getting the money. It's about your spiritual health and your relationship to God. And so Jesus says, even though this guy gave 10%, he gave for all the wrong reasons, out of a sense of pride. And so don't be like him. He says, when you give, or when you think of your relationship to God, say, I am a sinner that God has shown mercy to. That's the sign of a healthy relationship to God. I am a sinner, and God loves me and has shown mercy to me, a sinner. And God-pleasing stewardship flows out of faith in God's grace. God is not pleased with either pride or guilt. You know, Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, was talking to churches that were making contributions to help the church in Jerusalem. There was a famine. And he complimented them on their giving. But he also said, one of the things he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And he focuses on saying, do you see yourselves as rich in your relationship with God? Now, within this congregation, there are going to be some of you that financially are very well off, and some of you are struggling to pay off your credit card debt. And we've got everything along that whole strata. Some of you are financially rich, some of you are struggling. But you're all rich through your faith in Jesus Christ. We are all rich when we focus on what God has given us. We are sinners that God has shown mercy to. And we all struggle at different levels, different things that nobody wants to make public, but God has mercy on sinners. That's what brings us here. And that's what makes us rich. And God says, I love you here and now. You may or may not have had parents that loved you. You may or may not have siblings that like you. You may not be popular at your work, but God loves you. God so loves you, he sent his son Jesus. That's wealth, to know that you are loved for who you are. See, because we may hide stuff from other people. Other people may not know all of our shortcomings. We don't hide anything from God. And God, who knows everything about you, says, I love you. That's riches. You can't buy that. You can't buy love like that. And that's the love that God has for you. That's true riches. And then God says, not only do I love you here and now, but I promise eternal salvation for you. The riches of heaven are yours here and now. Through your baptism, God made you his child. And because you are his child, you are the heirs of promises. In other words, God's already made out his will, and you're in it. You've already been put down on God's will. Yes, each one of you gets to be part of my eternal kingdom. And that makes you rich. I want you all to say with me, I am rich through the grace of God. I am rich through the grace of God. Let's say it again. I am rich through the grace of God. You know, if you say that with your lips, but you also believe it in your heart, you are a spiritually mature person. You have a relationship with God that's based on His grace. And that's what we want. The church isn't just concerned about your money, it's concerned about your relationship, that you see yourself as God sees you, as a beloved child of God, and that you see that you are rich because of Him. Now, Paul in Corinthians goes on to say, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Everyone should give as they have decided in their own hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compassion or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he says, everybody should decide in your heart what you're going to give. That's what Commitment Sunday is all about, to make a commitment, whatever it may be. And Paul says, neither reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he says, our giving should not be for pride or guilt. Our giving should be in response to God's giving. If we believe God has given us a wealth of gifts, His love now is eternal salvation to come, then whatever level we may be at or can afford, make a commitment that you feel good about. You know, I've used his example so many times because he had such an influence on me, and it was Al Twino, and he was on the Lutheran board for camping. And back when we were building Luther Glen, you know, the camp was used to building cabins and bunk beds, and when they went to do this retreat center, they spent a lot more money than they thought they were going to, and they were in trouble. And so the board of directors met, and they were trying to raise money, and Al stood up, and he said, I'm going to make a gift. And what motivated him, and I love his line, and that's a picture of him. He always had a smile like that. He says, give until it feels good. Now, it didn't look like much, but he was a wealthy man. And he said to our board, if I give $5,000, I won't miss it. I won't miss $5,000. At which time he opened up his checkbook and wrote a check for $50,000. It's the biggest check I have ever seen in my life, written by, you know, somebody that I knew. $50,000. And he says, this makes me feel good because this really is a sacrifice. I'll miss $50,000. I wouldn't miss the five. I'll miss $50,000. But I give it because God has given me so much more. I give it because it makes me feel good to give. And that's what Paul says in that letter to the Corinthians. When there's a need, he says, each of you decide what you in your own heart can give, neither reluctantly nor under compulsion, but give as a cheerful giver. Give in response to what God has already given you. And that was, Al was one of those who really inspired me to make a donation that was monetarily nowhere compared to his, but as a young pastor, associate pastor with three kids, Wendy and I made a commitment to that, to Luther Glen, because he so inspired me. Give until it feels good. So financial commitment is not about making the budget. It's about your relationship with God. It's about responding to God's grace. If we are sinners who have been shown mercy, if we are recipients of the riches of God's grace and the promises of eternal life, then out of that, set in your own mind what you can give until it makes you feel good. And it's a real challenge in our society because we live in a consumer society that says we should use all of our money to buy stuff for ourselves. Every commercial is there to make you feel you need to have this to be happy. You need to have this latest computer. You need to have this latest car. You need to have whatever product they're selling, or you won't be happy. And so it's a real challenge for us. There's nothing wrong with any of those things except when they become our priority. And so God says, set aside, set your mind what you're going to give and make that your first fruit. And then live after that. But if we don't first set aside something for God, then money becomes our God. You know, as Paul said in Timothy, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. And when we love money and the things that it can get us, when we love it, that's when we get into trouble, thinking we got to have all this to be happy. When God has said, no, the greatest happiness you will ever know is that you're a sinner that God has forgiven, that you are a sinner that God has shown mercy to, that you are a child of God that has the riches of heaven. You are on and in His will for eternal salvation. Let that be the real source of joy and happiness in your life. And so Paul says, if you reap sparingly, or if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. And he's not talking about material goods there. You know, never give to God so that you'll get more back. God, then you haven't given anything. If you think God is a better investment than a CD, then when you give, you haven't given anything. If you give to get back. No, God says, make a sacrifice. That's the whole thing about Jesus. His life was a sacrifice for us. No, but we will be blessed when we sow generously. Because we'll be blessed knowing that the reason we sow is that God has first given us so much. Will we be blessed knowing that we're making a positive difference for God's kingdom in the world? We'll be blessed knowing that even as we give of our material gifts, we are going to receive so much more in spiritual blessings from God. And so ultimately, we strive that you will be spiritually mature Christians. And spiritually mature Christians are grounded in that basic faith. We are sinners that God has shown mercy to us. God has been generous to us. And so as we ask for your financial commitments in this service today, we're not so much interested in your money as we are in your hearts. May you know God has been merciful to you, a sinner, and may you respond in faith. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, money can be tricky. It can lead us into pride, or we can feel guilty. But you don't want either of that. Like the tax collector, you want us to know we're sinners who have been shown mercy. We're still sinners. We still struggle with finances and so many other things. But Lord, help each person here to know they are rich in you, rich in love, rich in grace. And no matter what level of finances we can afford, let us know that that doesn't change your attitude toward us. But Lord, help us as a congregation that the people here may respond generously. For as we so generously, so shall we reap generously, reaping your love here and your salvation for eternity to come. We ask for your blessings to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we'll continue with our offering.